June 17th, 2014 is a day I will never forget. It began as a regular day. Max and I, we worked together, as Rick just mentioned, and me, Max, and Chris, one of the other preachers at Dowland Road, we have our morning Devo each day, and so we came together at 8 o'clock and studied from the Word of God. I had told a couple of our members who were getting ready to move to Lubbock that I would help pack up their U-Haul with them, with some other brethren, so went out and met them later on in the morning, and we did that and got some lunch. And that evening, Max and I were supposed to have a online Bible study. We were going to talk about what is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that was planned for 7 p.m. that night. So before going back to the building to finalize preparation for that study, I decided to go and get a little workout at the gym. And around 3 o'clock, I got to the gym and warmed up on the treadmill. And about 5 minutes in, I felt a little weird. All of my teeth began to hurt, and my jaw began to hurt, and my chest felt a little funny. And so I decided to get off the treadmill for a few minutes, trying to figure out what was going on. Well, eventually, I made my way to the hospital, and it was there that they told me that I was having a heart attack. And June 17th, 2014, is a day that I will never forget. Now, during that event, as I recovered and as people came and visited me and nurses came in and doctors came in, a lot of people said a lot of different things, but there was one thing that stood out to me that most people have often said when they found out that I had a heart attack. Do you know what it was? I think I may have given away by clicking on that slide. But the one thing that I've heard over and over again is that you are too young to have a heart attack. And I guess that is true because I was 35 when it took place. I just turned 36. And most of the stats say that a lot of people under the age of 40 are probably not going to endure such an event like that. But as the weeks continued on, and as I heard people saying this over and over again, it got me thinking a lot. It got me thinking a lot more about life. And it's not that I wasn't already thinking about life before the heart attack. I think a lot about that anyway because I have other health issues and issues with my heart. That's why I'm here in Minneapolis for this week. And I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow at Minneapolis Heart Institute. So I think a lot about that anyway. But it did cause me to pause and think a little bit more about life and trying to really look more at the big picture when it comes to my life and my family's life and things that I want to accomplish. It's a reminder that life indeed is fragile. And I often wonder how much do we often really think about life? I gotta tell you, our schedules are so busy, aren't they? Many of us may be thinking about what we have to do later on tonight or tomorrow morning going to work or school. Our children's lives can be extremely busy. Sometimes our children are playing so many sports, it seems like they're training for the Olympics or something like that. We're maybe thinking about planning for the holiday season that's right around the corner. We have work, we have school, we have weddings, we have family. And so many things sometimes can get in the way that can really cause us not to stop and ponder more about our lives as we really should. How often do you think about life in your life? There's a man in the Word of God who thought a lot about life, and his name is Solomon. And if you have your Bible, open it up tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. When we think about King Solomon, we often think about the book of Proverbs, where he wrote many of the Proverbs, or we think about the book Song of Solomon. And yet, the book of Ecclesiastes may be a book that we don't always read as much as we should. And yet, when you look at these 12 chapters, Ecclesiastes is really a book about life. In these 12 chapters, Solomon is talking about life, and he uses words like vanity over and over again, describing life and how life really indeed is vain at times. He talks about the inconsistencies when it comes to life and the challenges that come our way. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1, I want you to notice a couple of things. The book itself, Ecclesiastes, the name means the office or speaker in an assembly, and Solomon is described as the preacher, and he talks about the idea of life. In chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor, in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Over and over again in this book, he talks about life. And when you read the book, sometimes it's actually a little bit depressing, because he's talking about how life at times is so vain. And if you're not careful, looking at chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, you can start to think, well, what is the purpose of life? And so as we read chapters like this, it's important that we understand what Solomon said at the end of the book. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 13. And maybe you want to write this verse in your margin next to chapter 1, because it really balances out what Solomon said in chapter 1. Look at chapter 12 and verse 13. As he's struggling and trying to figure out the purpose of life and asking these really deep questions, notice what he said in verse 13. Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." You see, Solomon reminds us about some important facts. He tells us that God is important and that we need God in our lives and that our lives really do have meaning, that one day we are going to stand before God and give an account of all the things that we have done. You see, Solomon is reminding us that our lives really do matter. That our choices in our life really do matter. We can learn so much about life from these 12 chapters. And when I was in the hospital, and over the next couple of months, the last couple of months rather, I've heard a lot of people say, "You're too young to have a heart attack." And I've thought about the book of Ecclesiastes. In particular, I've thought about chapter 9. What I want to do tonight, I want to study from chapter 9. Because hearing this idea or this phrase, "you're too young to have a heart attack," reminded me of some lessons that Solomon will teach us in chapter 9 about life. And what I want to talk about for a few minutes, I want to talk about our lives under the sun. The title of my lesson is called "The Facts of Life." And for those of you who are old enough, I'm 36 and I feel pretty young, but does anybody remember the TV show, "The Facts of Life"? You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both. There you have the facts of life. When the TV was actually pretty good, they actually had decent shows. We're not talking about the TV show tonight, all right? But we are going to talk about some vital truths that we need to understand from the Word of God. These are some facts that will change our lives that we need to remember and that we cannot ignore. I want to share with you three vital facts that will help us in our lives and to make sure that we have the proper perspective with what we're doing in our lives and with respect to God. Here's what I want to do. I want us to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9 together. And as we're reading this together, I want you to see if you can notice what some of these facts are. As I'm going to read this, I want you to read along with me and see what is it that Solomon is teaching us about our lives. And before we read that, let me just hit the pause button real quick. Let me just say welcome. It's a blessing to be here this afternoon, and I want to show my appreciation to having this opportunity to preach the Word of God here tonight. It's always a blessing to have family, the people of God, the family of God, no matter where you go throughout the world. And I appreciate Rick and Benita for the hospitality, allowing me to stay with them, and this opportunity from the shepherds to preach the Word of God tonight. Look at verse number 1 with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and see what you can find with respect to some facts of life. Verse number 1, "For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner, he who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Verse 5, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, a poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. What did you learn about the facts of life? Did you catch anything in those verses? Three facts that I want us to see. Fact number one that Solomon teaches us when we talk about the facts of life, my friends, is that one day we will die. He begins that chapter in verse number two by talking about this idea that death happens to all. Look back in verse number two. He said, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean. When you go to verse number three, he said, this is an evil, and all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Solomon is reminding us, brethren, that one day we're going to die. I know that's kind of a depressing thing to talk about. I'm a pretty upbeat guy, but that's what the Bible teaches us, that death is real. In fact, Solomon couldn't escape this reality. Look in chapter 2, and I want you to notice what he said in verse number 14. Chapter 2 and verse number 14. Solomon is talking about the same idea, this reality that death is real. In chapter 2 and verse 14, Solomon said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, as it also happens to me, and why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that is now will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Death is going to come to those who are wise and those who are foolish. In chapter 3, in verse number 2, he said there's a time to live and there is a time to die. Solomon spoke about this reality over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it was something that he could not escape. King Saul died. King David died. And Solomon, this wise man, realized that one day he too would die. And that's exactly what happened. And brothers and sisters, while this can be a depressing thing to think about, it is a reality, it is a fact of life that we cannot ignore. That death is going to happen to all of us. And it doesn't matter if you're 15 or 25 or 55. One day, my friends, we're going to look at our family member one last time. One day, we're going to take that last breath. One day, the cars here in Minneapolis are going to pull over to the side as your body is being carried to the graveyard. One day all of us are going to have to die. And it's a reality, it is a fact of life that we cannot ignore. And we can take as many vitamins and supplements as we want, we can exercise as much as possible, but this still is going to happen to us. Therefore, there's some things that we need to remember. When we hear this idea of death, how do we respond? A lot of people don't even like to talk about it. But how are we supposed to respond with this fact of life? Let me give you a couple of things. Number one, we can't be naive about this, right? Would you agree with that? We can't be naive and ignore what the Holy Spirit tells us in His Word. Every day we are getting one step closer to our time running out on this side of life. One day our time will come. We can't ignore this fact. But secondly, go back to chapter 9. I want you to see what Solomon said in verse 9 and 10. Yes, one day we are going to die, and what that means for us right now. Right now, we need to enjoy our lives. Look back at what he said in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 9. Solomon said, "Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life. And in the labor which you perform under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." What's he telling us here? He's reminding us, listen, while you still have breath, while you still have life, enjoy what you have. Enjoy the blessings that God has given to you. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. And maybe a question for us tonight is this. Do we enjoy our lives? And are we taking the time to really enjoy and appreciate what God has provided for us? Is there anything that's holding you back from enjoying your life right now? Is it sin? Is it built up resentment maybe? Is it a lack of forgiveness maybe on your part? Is it being just so busy that you don't have time to really appreciate the individuals that are in your life? What is it that is potentially holding us back from enjoying our lives and enjoying our families? I will tell you, my friends, whatever it is, whether it's for you or for me, we have to eliminate it because one day our lives are going to be over. And so Solomon is reminding us to enjoy our lives right now. Because death is going to happen to all. Now, this does not mean that just because he tells us that we can enjoy our lives right now, that this gives us a license to do whatever we want to do. Sometimes people may go to the extreme and say, "Oh, that's great. I get to enjoy my life, so I'm going to go out and do whatever I want to do." That's not what Solomon is teaching. Notice in chapter 11 and verse number 9, listen to what he says here. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." Young people, enjoy life, but know this. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." You see, Solomon is reminding us, yes, we should enjoy our lives, but this does not give us a license to go out into sin and do whatever we want to do. Because all the things that we do in our lives, we are going to be held accountable by God. Whether you're young or whether you're old, Solomon is reminding us to enjoy life. And for the young people who are here tonight, that's exactly what God wants you to do. He wants you to remember Him in the days of your youth. He would say that in chapter 12 and verse number 1. He said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Part of our lives right now should be about serving God, being committed to serving Him each and every day. You know, we see these movie stars and these music stars and we see how they talk about life and stuff like that and how they portray life. And the things that they often portray the majority of the time, those things, that's not what living life is all about. That's not real life. You have music stars like Miley Cyrus and Kesha and Lil Wayne and all these other people out there, and they're going out and they're drinking and they're committing sexual immorality and they're doing all these wicked deeds and they're saying, "Live your life and live it to the fullest." Is that really living life? Of course not. You see, we need to remember what Solomon says here. Our lives have purpose, and our purpose in life is to fear God and to keep His commandments. But why should I fear God? Why should you fear God and keep His commandments? Because our purpose is to give Him glory in our lives. And so we need to remember this now because one day we're going to stand before God and have to give an account. And we need to remember this now because one day we're going to die. You see, our lives are short, and that is a fact of life. And it's a fact that we cannot ignore. It's a fact that Solomon reminds us of in chapter 9. Maybe that one was easy to see with respect to a fact of life. Did you catch any other facts of life that he talked about in chapter 9? Go back with me to chapter 9. Let me share with you a second fact of life. First of all, he teaches us that one day we're going to die. And the second fact of life coincides with the first. And that is this, that when it comes to our life, when it comes to death, we may not have as much control as we really think. It's kind of a scary thing sometimes. You see, one day we will die, but we really don't have that much control of when that time is going to come. Death will come for all, and it often comes when we least expect it. We can never know with certainty when our time here on this side of life is going to be done, and yet we understand that there are some indicators, right, that help us to see that we are maybe drawing closer to that final moment. Go back to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is interesting because he seems to be talking about an individual who is gradually growing older and how the body is kind of slowly breaking down and different issues and ailments that seem to happen when this individual grows older. In verse 1, he said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease before they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim." Many have said that he's talking about maybe our bones and our teeth and our eyes and how when a person gets older, those things gradually decrease with how they work. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. It seems to be maybe talking about the person's hearing and how that gradually decreases when they get older. There are some indicators that help us to see that maybe we are one step closer to our final days on this side of life. A person who is 80 years old is obviously going to be much closer to death than a person who is 40 years old or when they were 40 years old. A person who receives some terminal disease, sometimes they can begin to process that their time on this side of life is indeed short. And while there are things that we can control with respect to what we eat and our exercise and vitamins and things like that, there's an element that we fail to consider. And the reason why I put this point up is because of what Solomon said in chapter 9 and verse number 11. Did you catch that? In verse number 11. Solomon said in verse number 11, he said, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." This idea of time and chance. It would seem that a person who is fast is always going to win the race. But time and chance can happen. A person who is strong would certainly always win the battle. But time and chance is going to happen. He's using these examples to see that sometimes in life, things do not always work out as we expect them to work out. And there is an element of time and chance. And I got to tell you, this is a challenging thing to consider. It's a cruel part of our lives at times that things do not always happen as we want them to happen. Do you ever struggle with that concept? That you think or you have some view of how things should go, or a person is living right and doing right things, and yet they're going through a lot of difficult and challenging days? Sometimes we can view life and we can have this mentality that this is how life is supposed to be. But it always does not work out as we may think. I think that's challenging sometimes for us to grasp. And I wonder, how much do we often think about time and chance? This is an element that the Holy Spirit is reminding us when it comes to our life. You see, when something bad happens, not all the time, but it is often the case when something bad happens, who is the first person that a person might blame? Who is it? God, right? Sometimes when something bad happens, the first person that someone will say, God. And sometimes people may say, well, everything happens for a reason. But we also got to leave some room for time and chance. Because Solomon said time and chance happen to them all. Question for us tonight is this. Do we really believe what Solomon says in verse number 11? That time and chance happen to all. I will tell you that this passage is challenging to accept, especially depending on what happens to us in our lives. We're not always going to have the answers regarding what happens to us. Told you I had a heart attack 3 months ago. People want to know, well, what caused the heart attack? That's a great question. I want to know that too. But I don't know if I'm ever going to know that. They didn't put a stent in. They took 17 vials of blood to see maybe I have some clotting issues. They found a blood clot in my heart. And maybe my blood's not working properly. But everything checked out normal. Maybe when I go to Minneapolis Heart Institute tomorrow, maybe I'll get some answers there. But you know what? There are going to be some times in our lives where we are not always going to know the answer or be given an answer as to why certain things happen. That can become very dangerous for us if we're not careful. And so we need to make sure that we respond accordingly when events may happen or where we're challenged, trying to figure out why is this happening and what's going on. Because time and chance, it's a fact of life, and we cannot ignore it. So what should we do? Let me give you three things. Number one, if you're taking notes, when it comes to this second point here, first, let's not be naive about this fact. The Bible says that time and chance happen to all. Let's not be naive about that. Secondly, let's be careful that we don't blame God. We're not always going to have the answers, brethren. But you remember Job? Look at Job chapter 1. Many of us are familiar with his story in Job chapter 1. Remember when Job lost his family and he lost his wealth? He would eventually lose his health. In Job chapter 1, in verse number 20, after learning that all of his children had died, I can't even imagine hearing news like that. But in verse number 20, the Bible says, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Let's not be naive about the fact that time and chance is going to happen. And let's make sure that we don't blame God. Our God is good. And He's good to us each and every day. We need to know that indeed He is in control of all things. And thirdly, let me give you this to remember. Let's remember that we need to be rooted in Christ. You know what Psalm 119 and verse 11 says? Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When tough times come, and they're going to come for all of us, there are going to be days where we can't explain why certain things are taking place. And that is why it is so important for every child of God to have the Word of God stored up in our hearts. We use that passage sometime to talk about avoiding the lust of the flesh or avoiding certain types of sins and things like that, and that certainly is appropriate. But we also need to have the Word of God stored up in our hearts so that we might not sin against God, particularly when tough times come. Because if not careful, we can start to blame God. We can start to even potentially think about leaving God because things are maybe not working out as we want or expect them to work out or to happen. And more than ever, we need to have a strong foundation with our relationship with God and remembering His promises, remembering His grace, remembering His mercy. And therefore, we have to have the Word of God stored up in our hearts. The more I study the Word of God, the more I believe that we should be reading the Word of God every single day. How did King David store up the Word of God in his heart? Talk about a busy schedule. He's a king. He's a warrior. He was a husband and multiple wives, children. How did he store up the Word of God in his heart? The answer is found in Deuteronomy 17. Read Deuteronomy 17 when you get a few minutes. I believe it's verses 17 through 19, where the kings of Israel, when they became kings, were given instruction. And the king would have to write a copy of the law for his own personal copy. You know how long that would take to make your own copy of the law? That would take a really long time. But you know what that would do? It would help store up the Word of God in their hearts. More than ever, my friends, we need to make sure that we are storing up the Word of God in our hearts so we know who God is. that God is good no matter what happens in our life. Because here's why this is so important. It will help us to avoid saying two words. Why me? Many times people say when something happens to them or something happens to someone close to them, why me? And maybe if we dive into the Word of God and consider more about who God is, maybe we can avoid saying that completely. Maybe we can avoid saying, why me? And rather say, why not me? Why not me? I had a heart attack when I was 35. But I read about a young man who was 32 with two children, married, and he had a heart attack. Why not me? My wife Nikki recently went to Houston to volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House, where there are so many children there who are suffering different physical conditions. Why not me? There are probably many people in this audience who are suffering from something far worse than having a heart attack. Why not me? See, the more we can remember who God is and what He's done for us will help us to have the proper perspective. I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but it will help us to have the proper perspective about life. This is a fact of life that is hard. It's hard to recognize that one day we're going to die. It's hard to recognize that sometimes we don't have as much control as we think we have. And that's why we need to remember ultimately who is in control, and that is God. Solomon reminds us about these facts of life. Number one, death is real. We're going to die. Number two, we don't have as much control as we may think. And let me give you the last fact, and the lesson will be yours. Fact number three, when you go back to chapter 9, you know what Solomon teaches us? He reminds us that, you know what? We may die today. Look back in chapter 9 with me. I want you to notice in verse number 12, did you catch what he said in verse 12? Solomon said, for man also does not know his time. You see that? Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. He's telling us, he's reminding us, look, things are going to happen. We don't know when the events are going to happen. We don't know when our lives are going to be over. It could happen today. Tomorrow is not promised. And I believe this may be really the challenging aspect of the facts that Solomon gives us. Let me ask you this question. What do you got planned for tomorrow? You don't have to answer that, okay? But do you already have your plans for tomorrow? Is anybody going to watch Sunday night football? Who's playing tonight? Anybody know? You going to go to work tomorrow? Drop the children off at school? God willing, I want to get a run in tomorrow morning. I got my appointment at 12 o'clock. Hopefully I'll get a good report. Over at lunch, we were talking about there's some restaurant or some place here in the area where they sell bunk cakes. And I really want to see if I can get there and try one of these bunk cakes, if I get a good report. But we make these plans. And if anybody wants to come with me, let me know, all right? We make plans, right? Tuesday, I'm going to go and get on a plane and leave and go back home. Wednesday, we're going to be here, you'll be here, and I'll be in Beaumont. We're going to have Bible study. Our schedules are already booked a week, two, a couple of months in advance. But the reality is, and the challenge for us, is that tomorrow is not promised. The reality is, look at how many people are here today. September 14, 2015. There's a good chance that maybe some of you will not be sitting in these pews. Because death happens. And tomorrow is not promised. This is hard to accept. And yet, it's a reality that we cannot ignore. And so what do we do? How do we cope with this? How do we respond to what Solomon is saying? I believe, number one, we need to live with a sense of urgency. Would you agree with that? One of the challenges that we may face is kind of falling into, not complacency, but just getting relaxed and really thinking about the idea that maybe I have plenty of time. Young people are planning their high school events and college and wedding and things like that. And sometimes, if not careful, we can just tell ourselves, I have plenty of time. Says who? How do we know we have plenty of time? You see, we have to avoid this idea that I have plenty of time. And we need to have a sense of urgency in our lives. And we need to make sure that whatever it is that we need to get done or fixed in our lives, that we do it today. because tomorrow is not promised. A couple of years ago, back at Dallin Road, we had this month where we called it a month of reconciliation, where we tried to reach out to the members who had been withdrawn from and disciplined and tried to bring them back. We had sermons geared toward those that we were trying to bring back. And there was one brother that we had called and reached out to and sent note cards and things like that. And he said to leave him alone. He didn't want any dealing with us. He was going to do whatever he wanted to do. The very next day, he found himself in the hospital. And he died. It's one of the saddest things to hear. Maybe he was thinking that he had plenty of time. Do we really have a lot of time? I don't know. Who knows? So what that means for us is that we have to live with a sense of urgency. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What is it that you need to get done right now? Do you have a family member or a friend that you know needs Jesus Christ? And yet maybe you have not talked to them about the gospel and what they need to do to be saved. My question is, what are we waiting for? Because tomorrow is not promised for them and it's not promised for us. We need to get that done today. Is there a relationship in your home that needs to be fixed or mended or corrected? We need to live with a sense of urgency and make sure if that is us, that we get it fixed today. Because tomorrow is not promised. Have you been holding a grudge against a brother or sister in Christ? You're not willing to humble yourself and go to them. Reconcile. That needs to be fixed right now. Because tomorrow is not promise. We need to live with a sense of urgency. Is there sin that you need to repent of and confess to your Father in heaven? You don't wait to do that, my friend, because there's no guarantee that you're going to have the opportunity to do that. We need to live with a sense of urgency. And yet at the same time, this does not mean that we live a life of fear and doom and gloom and wondering, okay, is today is the day or is this going to be the moment? My friends, we live with confidence, and we live with faith in Jesus Christ. We are to be pilgrims of this world. We are simply passing through. And the challenge sometimes may be that maybe we've taken up residence in this world instead of remembering that we have something far greater waiting for us on the other side. We got to be careful that we don't get so comfortable that we're not living with a sense of urgency. Our lives indeed are short. We need to live with a view of eternity. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 11. In chapter 3 and verse number 11, Solomon said, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." Our view and our lives, we should be geared in thinking about God and heaven and eternity and recognizing that this life, we're simply passing through. And there's more to life than the here and the now. These are facts that we can't ignore. One day we're going to die. Solomon reminds us in chapter 12 and verse number 7 that when we die, he said in verse number 7, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." These bodies are going to grow old. There's nothing we can do to stop that. One day we'll go back to the dust of the ground, but there's a part of us that will live on forever. And therefore, we need to make sure that we don't ignore these facts. Make sure that we're getting ready for what happens to us after we die. I don't know when our time is going to be up, when my time or your time will be up. But regardless of it, it's going to happen one day. And therefore, let's make sure that we are prepared today, not tomorrow, but today to live forever with Jesus Christ. Because these are facts of life, and we cannot ignore them. Solomon reminded us in chapter 9, the latter portion, to not ignore this wisdom. And he's given us this wisdom for our benefit. So let's make sure that we hold on to what we have learned this evening. I would tell you that sometimes talking about this subject can be a little bit depressing, but there's good news. The good news, my friend, is that death is not the end. You see, Jesus, when he was about 33 years old, died on the cross. It wasn't fair that he had to die. He didn't commit any sin, but he died for our sins. And he was raised from the grave on the first day of the week. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, we don't have to fear death because we have victory through Him. He's conquered death in the grave. And because He was raised from the grave one day, even after we die, we will be raised back to life. And those who are in Jesus Christ will be with Him in heaven for eternity. That's why we need to have a view of eternity and to live our lives to glorify Him, because one day He's coming back and we will be able to be with Him forever. Are you ready? Are you prepared to stand before your Maker? If you're not, what are you waiting for? Because tomorrow's not promised. If there's someone here tonight who is not ready, we want to encourage you to get ready right now. Give your life over to Jesus. Crucify the flesh. Die to sin. Be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of all your sins. And for those of us who have already given our lives over to God, let's make sure that we stay ready. Let's not forget these facts of life. Let's go out into the world tomorrow. Let's shine our lights. Let's live with a sense of urgency. Let's give glory to God. Let's help others make sure that they are ready for that great day. If you're subject to the invitation, come now as we stand and as we sing.